Happy New Year to you, my friend. I hope that 2010 has begun with a great beginning for you and your family. I want to welcome you to the January issue of Gospel Gazette, published by Lewis Rushmore, and this audio segment of A Word Between Friends. We want to continue our theme of how to avoid the sin of fornication. Previously, we have noted that God, our majestic Creator, has given mankind the gift of human sexuality. He designed our bodies for their magnificent function. David, the shepherd king, extolled the glory of God in his unparalleled work of creation when he penned these words from Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We're not ashamed to state that Satan, on the other hand, has a wide range of devices by which he deceiveth the whole world and brings men, women, and young people under his lawless and depraved rule. As long as we live here upon this earth, sexual temptation will continue to be one of his favorite tools to bring us into subjugation and into conflict with our God. Reflect upon the words with me of James in the New Testament book that bears his name, James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In this passage we see the progressive nature of temptation, which often leads to sin, as well as its devastating consequence. Over and over, God makes known to us that we can neither commit sin nor live a flagrant lifestyle of sin with impunity. Considering the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, we would understand there always is a substantial price to be paid for sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Last time we talked about a couple of practical things we can do to avoid the moral failure of fornication. One was to refuse to feed one's lust with sexually oriented material. One's lust will invariably prompt a person to act in ways that are not approved by our Creator. Another strategic point was made for the need to adopt God's standard of purity beforehand. A young man of God by the name of Daniel was given to illustrate the principle of purposing in one's heart not to defile himself. Daniel 1 verse 8. Proceeding further, you and I can avoid the pitfall of fornication when we resist, when we flee, as Joseph did literally, when Potiphar's wife, day by day, tried to seduce him into sharing forbidden sexual pleasure. These details are recorded in the book of God, Genesis 39. Dear friend, by reflecting on this historical narrative preserved in Holy Scripture for our benefit, we learn that a man, or a woman for that matter, can say no to sexual temptation and truly mean it. A person can, in fact, resist the lure of Satan. Joseph was not playing hard to get. He was not teasing her. He said no, and he meant no. Can you and I learn to say no? Can you and I have the integrity and moral fortitude to say no? Can we learn to say no and retain our purity of heart before God? Can we learn to say no to Satan and yes to the bidding of our Maker who fashioned us in His image and truly seeks our well-being? No doubt Potiphar's wife was an attractive woman, being married to one high up and powerful in the Egyptian government, being the captain of the guard in Pharaoh's court. A lack of physical attraction is neither given nor implied as a basis for Joseph's lack of interest in a woman who was throwing herself at him. She was persistent in her advances. No, she did not quit at the first sign of rejection. Over an extended period of time, daily, she tried to wear Joseph down and catch him at a weak moment. But Joseph in Genesis 39 verse 9 said, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Joseph respected the marital relationship that existed between his master and his wife. He understood God's law concerning marriage and that it was not to be broken by infidelity. This would remain the case, even if Potiphar had known about her interest in Joseph and had even given his consent to their union. Joseph would not be a party to her sin, even if she did not respect her own marriage bond. Joseph, you see, had been taught in his formative years about God and his laws concerning marriage for mankind. He knew God's disdain for all forms of sexual immorality when he was taught, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," Exodus 20 and verse 14. Joseph's love and reverence for his Maker prompted him to inquire of the seductress, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph then well illustrates a man's capacity to avoid the slavish bondage of sexual immorality, that is, when aided and empowered by the living God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reads, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." The devil provides the temptation, but God provides the escape route. God has given us the privilege of making the choice of which path to take. The devil offers the pleasure of sin for a season, which is followed by death and permanent separation from our loving God and Father. Our love for God, in response to His love for us, motivates us to make the right choice to His honor and glory. Thanks for listening to this segment of A Word Between Friends, and until next time, may God bless and keep you in His loving care.